DC Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, let's do it, baby.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. Good morning. It is very good to talk to you guys today. Very good to be here in our fair burg, great city. Actually, I really do wish I was at the beach still. I'm not going to lie. I can't even hold that back. Just got back from vacation. Still in vacay mode a little bit there. Almost got the, you know, got the scary Sundays a little bit. You know, I had a scary Sunday since I got back into the burg, actually, about on Friday. Just, you know, not really wanting to go back to work. But we got a great show lined up for you to get, you know, to scare away those Sunday scaries for you guys, get you ready for the Manic Mondays, I guess. Coming in hot in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about a little bit Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather as well. Who gets Julio? We're going to go back to the Julio Jones fantasy football question because we still need to answer that. Big sweeps. I mean, that feels like the number one free agent to go get, right? The number one, besides Aaron. I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't a free agent. He's under contract.
Neither is Julio.
You're right. He is under contract.
Yeah, Julio, Shannon Sharp just did him wrong.
Shannon Sharp did him wrong a little bit.
Come on, Unk. Come on, Unk.
All right, so we'll get it back. We'll get into that, and then we'll have the right call at 9:45, and then we got to talk Longhorns baseball. One win away from going to the Super Regional, baby, and looked very dominant last night against a really good defensive Arizona State team. But I mean, when you're putting runners on bases, you know, free passes and stuff, and then hitting some players. I think Cam got hit on his foot too to send a runner in for an RBI as well. So I don't know. Looks like a tough team to beat, this Longhorns team. Second overall behind Arkansas. So we'll see how that plays out on their trip to Omaha. We'll be covering that as well. That game's tonight. They're awaiting, I guess, to see who plays, who advances in this elimination game between Arizona State. All right, we'll also get into Just the Tip at 10:45 and then talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. Obviously, we got to talk about the Brooklyn Nets and Milwaukee Bucks. That's just goes without mention. Al Walsh comes on at 11:30. If we haven't got into the Milwaukee Bucks in New Jersey Nets, Brooklyn Nets by then I'm sure Walsh will get back into this, and we'll tie things off with the last call. But guys, coming in hot. This is it. If this happens, Logan Paul. All right, Logan Paul is saying that Mayweather. This is the biggest fight of Mayweather's life.
Oh yeah, it
like,
is.
This is. I mean, this the champ. The champion's undefeated. This is not the biggest fight of Mayweather's life. This is the biggest fight of Logan Paul's life.
If Mayweather loses this fight,
I'm glad you said that. There's no way that Mayweather can lose this fight. Everybody's got a puncher's chance. I agree with you there. Everybody's got a puncher's chance. But you're telling me that Floyd Mayweather went through 49, you know, 50, whatever's right. It's 49-0. It's 50-0 after Pacquiao, I believe. But he's undefeated. The best pound-for-pound fighter that we've seen. And you're going to tell me that he's going to get knocked out by Logan Paul, and then all of a sudden this rise to fame with Logan Paul and Jake Paul and any YouTuber that can get on there and make some muscles. You're going to get $1 million doing that stuff, and you're going to tell me that all of a sudden you're just the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
So you say pound-for-pound. Logan Paul has him by 30 pounds.
Exactly.
That's where I'm like, okay, Floyd, if Logan Paul gets you a couple times, is your body...
So it's got to be a knockout.
Yeah.
Because Floyd can stick a move and dance, because that's what he's going to do.
Man.
He's going to play defense.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, if he gets outboxed...
And Logan Paul's going to come in mad aggressive.
Matt has to, like, and Logan Paul's going to be coming in hot. Logan Paul, he has to be coming in hot.
He can't go to this. You're telling me if this dude, he is in shape. He looks like he's in shape. And he's got
he's in shape.
But dude.
He's such a dipstick. McGregor, him and his brother.
McGregor struggled to go the distance. And McGregor's in phenomenal shape.
Right.
I'm telling you, man. We're in a simulation if this happens.
We're in a simulation if this happens.
If Logan Paul wins, this is a damn simulation that we're in, and I can't believe a damn thing going on in the world.
So we have Derek Jeter's pitch right down the middle in the last game of his career where he had the walk-off.
That was a gift. We do that.
Kobe, rest in peace, his 60 ball.
You gotta make the 60 drop though. That's the one thing.
So you believe that more?
His shot output. His
he was getting those attempts up.
He was going for it.
But you don't think the Utah Jazz
were a little relaxed? They're relaxed. They're like, all right.
I don't think they made the playoffs that year either.
We're talking about the greatest fighter in our lifetime that I've seen.
Yeah, we didn't see Ali. You probably saw. Did you see Mike? Really?
Mike's a fighter to me. Mike is not a boxer. To me, Mike is not a Mike is a brawler.
I mean, what can you say, man? I'm not gonna.
Man, if it goes down to the third round, then I don't know if I'm gonna have a chance. I'm just gonna have to give him a right cross and then knock you down with an uppercut.
Yo, man. Well done. Well done, my friend. That was not bad.
I used to practice some Mike.
Did you?
Yeah, back in the day.
You do really good impersonations.
It was ludicrous, man. It was ludicrous.
That's not bad at all. I'm really bad at impersonations. Like, I do a bad but good Adam Sandler. Like, that's really the only thing I could do.
What do you mean? I'm trying to do this, and he was trying to go back home, and, you know, I just want to hit the ball long and have Billy Madison, and, you know.
That's not good.
You do cartoon characters, though, I feel like. I feel like you can do, like, characters that we've seen growing up.
But I can't.
But I've heard you make voices before that I've
and
heard.
And they're like, never, they're, you kind of know who I'm talking about, but not really. Like, I knew that was Mike Tyson.
That's a distinct voice.
True. But that Adam Sandler that I just threw out there, people probably, you know, listen, they're like, yeah, Zay, I don't know about that.
I don't want to diss Zay's, you know, in imitating abilities, but I do think his Adam Sandler is also his Sam Pica and his Adam Wagner and his just every. It's Touché. A good voice. It's every, a good voice.
Every animated white male.
Yeah. Touché. Touche. Again, I can't really argue that. I'm not listening to myself, but I feel like I'm more versatile than that, Sam. Yeah. I feel like I need a little bit more creativity.
I feel like he has hit certain characters before where, like, as I'm working on something, I've looked over my shoulder and I'm like, ooh, that's pretty good. Like, yeah. As a guy that does voices, when you hear that stuff, you're like, man, I got to imitate that voice. How do I get that?
Yeah.
How do I get that pitch? How do I get that range? But no, like, that's, I'm coming in hot completely on Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather. Like, this is, one, I already feel like we're in a damn simulation anyways. Coming back from, all right, so check this out. Coming back from, you know, where the hell was I at? I'm sorry, I got in an accident on the way back, too. I was in Padre. I got in an accident on the way back from Padre, by the way. Slow down. I wasn't even speeding, as a matter of fact. It was just standing water in that monsoon. But we'll talk about that anyways. Wrecked the car. Yeah, man.
I'm just glad you're all right.
Yeah, me too, bro. Me too. Yeah, it was very scary. And I'm still shaking up a little bit. Just right. like I feel like I had a concussion. You know what I mean? I felt dazed, but I felt like I had to puke, which was kind of an indicator to me.
Yeah, when you said that over the text, I don't know if Sammy got the same vibe. I was like, what does he mean?
I felt like I had to, like, vomit a lot. You know what I mean? But I never vomited. You know, never. I just felt sick.
Right.
Just weird. Just nauseous. But anyways, so in South Padre, man, it's just like nobody was wearing a damn mask. Now, I know the laws are going away to where it's not mandatory to wear a mask, but no one cared.
Nah.
No one gave a damn. As a matter of fact, once you got into the RGV, no one cared.
No.
Like, once you get outside of this city, no one gives a damn.
No.
So I feel like we're living in a simulation. Just on that part. Back to sports. If Logan Paul beats Floyd Mayweather, guys, I have to double down and invest in my claim saying that this is a sports simulation that okay. we are all getting toyed with.
Okay, so you said he has no chance.
He's got, he's got a fighter's chance.
From 1 to 10, as in 1 having no chance to 10 beating Floyd, how much does Logan Paul have a chance to you?
2.
Oh, man.
But it's got, but it's, and you know what? It's got, if it, the longer the fight goes on, the lesser it goes.
Right.
His chances just diminish.
Okay. I'm going to say 4.
Okay. That's still, that's more than I thought that you would give him.
Yeah. Sammy, what about you?
I got to go 0, bro. I want to see this fool bloodied and battered. I
hate
this
guy. Yeah, you don't like Logan Paul, do you?
No.
I can't stand this dude either.
Like, he's hard to like.
He's a very tough, it's hard to like a dude that is a dipshit.
Yep.
I got you. No. I caught that one.
You caught that one.
That's the point. It's you almost do it.
Okay.
We keep track of the almost.
Zay's the weeks without an accident counter right now.
Yeah. The sign up there. How many days without an incident?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So look, you can't, and this is why, I mean, people like this get me animated. You can't be an idiot. All right. Well, I guess you can. Because
you definitely can.
Because our country,
we love that.
Our society is exactly we flock to idiocracy.
Oh yeah,
we flock to people being dumb. And as long as you got, can you get some muscles on your body? Oh, now we can sell you. Oh, now I can sell that brand. All right, now go talk some outlandish stuff out there and just be an idiot.
Yeah,
don't worry about it because people won't hold you accountable for anything.
Yeah, his brother taking Floyd's hat in that. I don't even know what that was.
Got
what was
hat,
the point?
Got your hat.
What was the point of two non-fighters meeting? Like, hey, bro, that looks exactly like me. Y'all confuse the hell out of me. It really pisses me off. Do they confuse you too? Because they look like twins.
I still call them the same.
Yeah, like, when I see one, I'm like, is that Jake? Is that Logan? Which one is that? They look exactly the same.
Logan's the bigger dude, right?
Again, I don't like check out their physique.
Like that, but one's taller.
That deeply?
Like one's taller. One's significantly like a head taller, I think.
All right. Well, either way, you know that a lot of this is just for the bucks.
But Logan is really trying to be a boxer. Like, this is his...
They both say they are.
See, I thought the one dude was like a YouTube sensation or something.
They both are a YouTube sensation. That's why this is so damn bogus, man. That's why this is so damn bogus.
We have not even mentioned the undercard here. Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, who he fighting?
This is dude.
Who he fighting? Because he still thinks that he just would have ate Deion Sanders. I always see them, like, matching up. Like, you always see, like, film and video of Deion Sanders and Chad Ochocinco, which both of them, they could talk that talk. So, obviously, they think they could get the best of one another. And Deion's out here just going at him, pretending, like getting down in his defensive back stance, like back in his hay, which we know Deion used to cover half the field back in his heyday. And Ochocinco just chirping back like, yo, dog, I would have ate you alive. And Deion's like, no, you can't do me. You know who I am. You know
good.
Who I am, which, again, that would have been a great battle, but that's...
Brian Maxwell is who he's fighting.
Who?
Brian Maxwell.
I don't know who that is.
We're going to look him up. We're going to look this dude up. But, I mean, this is the undercard. So, like, this is, one, do you feel like this takes away from the sport of boxing?
Hell no. Boxing needs this.
Jeez, that's how bad boxing is.
Bro, it's not like when Mike and we had the heavyweights where you were
Riddick
to see
Bowe.
It. And UFC did a big part of, like, you know, coming in the way of
take
boxing
away. Yeah,
success.
Very true, very true. That's
like, if UFC, like, they weren't popping like, you know, it was back
would
in the 90s.
Would boxing still be boxing in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, it would be.
If UFC.
But UFC is now the highlight. Like, we focus on UFC fights way more than we do boxing matches.
Do you think that UFC, the rise of UFC has influenced, the rise of UFC in America has influenced boxers to, or I guess traditional boxers to kind of step away from prize fighting and get into the octagon?
Yes and no, because I think it takes a different animal to get
sure,
in the octagon
bro.
Than
for
it does.
Sure. Like, you got to learn 3 or 4 different, it's mixed martial arts. For
yeah. Reason. Yeah, like, you got to work on your wrestling game.
You got to know how to grapple.
You got to work on your kick game. Like, we've seen that. We've seen cats get kicked in their shin and just drop. Like, homeboy's barefoot that just kicked you, bro. You know how hard he has to kick you for you to just drop and have something break in your leg when someone is barefoot?
So whenever I think about that, I think, and I know this is just BS Hollywood movie training, but I think of that scene in Kickboxer where Jean-Claude
so
Van
dope.
Damme, oh, dude.
So dope.
Where he's got to break the bamboo stick with his shin.
That's my movie, bro.
Oh, my God. Like, your shin would, oh. Like
people don't talk about that movie enough. Obviously, it was a little outlandish when, you know, bootleg Gordo from Mortal Kombat throws the dust in his eye. Throws the dust in his eye.
Oh, no,
eye.
Wait, that's
not dust. What is
that's
that?
That's Bloodsport.
No, bro, that's kickboxing. Somebody throw something in his eye.
Kickboxers where they go.
What gets
glass.
In his eye? Something gets in his eye.
That's the poison.
And he's like,
that's the poison. But that's Bloodsport. That's a different movie.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Oh no, Wags is totally right. Yeah, at the end when Van Damme's fighting the last
he's
guy, yeah,
Bodo,
he totally
he's
gets
fighting
the,
Bodo Young.
Yeah,
that's the dude's name. He's a martial artist, Bodo Young,
the dude who killed the greatest fighter ever.
He takes the poison pill out of the, like the blind pill out of his belt, and then snaps it and throws it into Van Damme. And Van Damme's like.
I'm so glad that people can see now how much stuff Wags just knocked over.
Yo, I thought it was special effects. I was like, yo, did this fool have was this planned? Is this a bit? Because it sounded like special effects. Like, it sounded like the actual scene, because I've never seen it before. So when people go back and listen to it, it sounded like when you go, blah, something gets hit. And I'm like, is this a special effect? Is this a bit?
But no, that's what he does. Like, Van Damme goes, oh.
Right, yeah, he great actor. High quality actor.
I can't see. And then all of a sudden just catches a roundhouse kick out of nowhere.
Ooh,
and then does
okay,
the,
yeah,
does
yeah,
the Johnny
yeah.
Cash. And then,
so in kickboxing, something happens where he's rattled.
Right. In Kickboxer, he gets told by the girl that she
yeah.
was raped by Tom Petty.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
Then, and then he walks
God,
over
that's
to the
dark.
Girl. Yeah, he walks over to the girl and he's just like, did he do that? And she's like, yes. And then that's it. That's all the motivation.
That's all he
needed
to see. That's all I needed to see.
The signature jump roundhouse kick that Van Damme usually does, man, and usually just, you know, knocks somebody's teeth out, but yeah, he does that. That's the significant move or the signature move that Van Damme does.
Man.
Longhorn and Lubbock, my favorite movies.
Oh, those are classics.
Bloodsport and Kickboxer? Kickboxer had a run, though. Kickboxer 1, 2,
pretty dark. It's pretty
three.
Dark movie now that I look back at it. Like, homeboy in the wheelchair that he was fighting for, too. Like, we didn't have to put him in the wheelchair. Like,
no,
did we have to paralyze homeboy? Like, come on. That was pretty dramatic.
Hey, can he move like me?
Is that what? Bootleg-ass A.C. Slater.
His name was Eric.
That was bootleg-ass A.C. Slater if I'd never seen him before.
Dude, that was... There you. That's what you. That's what you nail. You nail the comparisons.
Yeah.
You really nail the comparisons, man.
Thanks, bro. I'm patting myself on the back for that one.
Get
it's,
it.
It's always somebody that doesn't look like him that much. Just has like one feature.
Was it the curl?
It was the curl.
Was the curl? But he also had mustache too, didn't he? I felt like he had the mustache.
I don't know if Mario Lopez ever rocked a mustache.
Well, anyways,
he's always been clean cut.
Kickboxer 2. Mario Lopez
cool.
never had the. You're right, but
Mario Lopez.
I think this Eric dude had a mustache.
Which is probably what held him back. Like when we do our men's bracket. Mario Lopez probably won't make it. Like, he's a mid-major that just, you know, like you see him, you see his name
well, wait,
come
if he
up.
Makes it, Zach Morris can't make it.
See, we don't even know his real name.
Mark something.
No, it's Mark something, yeah.
It's Mark
something. He's
we're
on
gonna
a
find
new
out,
show.
We're going to go to break and find out his
we
name.
We got to go to break and
all
find
right,
out.
When we come back from break, we're going to be talking about double sticks. Julio Jones. Who gets Julio? Where's he going? Does he stay in Atlanta? Does he stay in Hotlanta? Does he go to Green Bay where it's a little bit chilly and bring some heat up there? We'll talk about it on the other side. It's the Wagner Wire with Isaiah Collier and Sam Pica bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com. Yeah, but they don't even have the sprinkles on them, though, man.
They don't need the sprinkles.
I'm talking about Pop-Tarts. I mean, we were talking, like, they, what are you rocking? The strawberry? Oh, I didn't even let the imaging play. We was just... Back to the Wagner Wire! Talking Pop-Tarts! What are you munching on? The strawberry?
Munching on that OG strawberry Pop-Tart.
See, I like the blueberry. I do like the blueberry.
So, you know, one thing about me, I always go back to my childhood.
The roots?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, you can never forget where you came from, Wags.
Absolutely. You hear the Baltimore in me all the time.
Yeah, and I do that with food. Mm. I always got to remember, you know what? I might be eating a lot of kale and different pork chops in the air fryer. A lot of air fryer moves with me.
Ooh, how is that working for
you?
Oh,
amazing. Well, yo, shout out to my brother. Yeah, my brother bought that for me for Christmas. Yo, that's the greatest gift he's ever given me. Like,
and
all the torture.
Easy to clean, too?
Yes, so easy to clean. All the torture that he gave me through our childhood, because he was the older brother, so. Yeah, he had, like, him, he's best friends with Michael Griffin. I went on the airwaves. Go, yeah. I went on this airwaves on B&E and told the story about how Michael Griffin, how Marcus Griffin is my favorite buoy to Texas Longhorn football player ever, just because Michael tortured me as a child, along with my brother.
See, people call that torture. I call it hard love.
Yeah, it's hard love.
Hard love.
It was hard love.
Calishes you up a little bit.
Yeah, but there are some things that you get PTSD from. But I digress a little.
Absolutely.
And the air fryer is just so on point. But sometimes I got to go back to my OG roots. Sometimes you got to make the Kool-Aid, get the sugar, drench it with sugar.
Doused.
Just completely doused.
Like, you look, it's just cloudy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're stirring it for a good 2 minutes. Because there's so much sugar in there.
Spoon.
Oh, man. It's red as hell. It's red as hell when it comes out. Yeah, that classic spoon. So you just got to go back to the roots sometimes. And the Pop-Tart, that's one of my OG. Yo, I remember when moms used to buy this for me. Yo, here you go. Before you leave the house and go to school and stuff, and it humbles me, man.
Is the strawberry your favorite flavor?
See, it was the easiest flavor to get because it was always at the front, but I was always about the rare, like, exclusive ones. Like the wild berry with the purple on it.
Yes.
Sammy, come on, bro.
I don't even think I had that. I had the blue, but, like, we just straight, and we had s'mores, too. Like, s'mores
crazy.
Was just too sweet, though. It was just too sweet.
That's more of a dessert. Yes, I'm with you. That you can't eat that for breakfast.
Right,
you'd be wilding out all day at school.
Just, no.
But, yes, yeah, Sammy knows exactly what I'm talking about. The wild berry, I'm going to have to pull it up for you. But it was.
It's like this weird blue and purple. Right? It was like blue and purple was the, and it had like a squiggle on it. Oh God, bro.
Crazy flavor.
But you're out here eating the pretentious tarts.
Here
though.
We go.
You're eating the actual name brand Pop-Tart, bro.
Like, am I bougie, Sammy?
Yes, that's bougie as hell, dude.
Oh my God.
So let me ask you a question. So you didn't have Fruit Loops, you had Roundups.
Exactly.
Oh
yes,
my God. Come on, man. You had Toasty-O's and not Cheerios.
Yes,
Miss Pika.
Dude, we didn't have Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We had Cinnamon Toasters, bro. we didn't have Fruity Pebbles. Pebbles, bro. We
Sam.
Didn't have Fruity Pebbles.
Yo, I respect
we had Fruity
that.
Dino Bites, dude.
I respect that. I'm all about the bootleg.
Yeah, but that's
I'm all about
the
bootleg.
Like 50 cents. Seriously.
Nah, he's saving a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's saving, especially with that big-ass Malt-O-Meal bag.
Straight up,
it was.
Bro.
It wasn't the box of cereal. It was the bag of cereal. My mom never got that. Because my mom, my mom was like, yo, look.
Yeah, but that's why you need the Tupperware containers in after that or else it goes stale.
My mom was like, look, we could cut back on some things. Food ain't one of them.
That's exactly
that's what,
how
that
I
was so 100. That was, I learned that early. That was one thing, Annie Collier, you were the realest with that. She was like, yo, I work hard. I got like 6 degrees. We gonna eat good. And my pops was like, yeah, I'm with that too. Like,
I ain't arguing.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel what Sammy was doing because at the end of the day, it don't taste much different.
It does. You have a real bougie palate.
That's my thing, though. No. See, we have
so bougie, man. Wag, you really
from the bottom of the sea, man.
Yo, Wax.
I can't be that bougie. I do like some stuff. I do like my wife had some flounder, it was grouper stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference between you know, getting, I don't know, Red Lobster and then going to a five-star restaurant. Like, I'm cool with Red Lobster. My fiance can't stand it. Like, that's my root stuff.
Ooh, legs all day.
Yeah, I go crazy on that. But, you know, there's some people that think that are too bougie for that. And I'm, you know what I'm saying?
I can do Red Lobster.
So I'm with Sam on that Malta meal and that toaster pastry.
We have the unique advantage in Texas of having an HEB. Like, everything that is Hill Country Fair is better than the actual brand.
Now, HEB brand...
I don't sleep on HEB brand. They're pretty good.
I don't think when I was a kid they were doing their brand thing like that, like the way they are now.
Marketing, yeah.
Yeah, HEB literally. Yeah, they have their own off brand to everything that's, you know, mainstream.
Got the Dr. B, bro. You got the nacho cheese tortilla chips, you know?
Yeah, and
F a Dorito.
Yeah, and that's good. That's some good
stuff. I can get down with that. I just can't get down with Rounded O's.
The Malta meal, I'm not with that either.
Like Rounded O's, man. Like, I have to pay for decent poison to put in my body.
It's literally sugar and milk that you're shoving into your body. It's not different.
Here you go, Wags.
It's not. There they are. Look crazy. At that. They got a neon blue little drizzle on it.
Oh,
you on the Wildberry now?
The Wildberry Pop-Tart.
Sam, can you tweet this out?
I'll tweet out a Wildberry Pop-Tart.
Are you seeing what we're seeing, Sam?
No.
We're not tweeting that out on the horn.
I am tweeting it out on the horn. Dude, I'm here one day a week. I'm tweeting it out on the horn.
Do what you need to do, Sam. All right, let's talk about Julio Jones. Okay.
I think
I got three teams down to where this dude's going to. He's either going to be in Atlanta still, right? Or he's going to be in Green Bay. Or he could wind up in Tennessee.
Green Bay, he's talking about he wants to play off a quarterback
with a strong arm.
Aaron Rodgers coming back.
If that's the thing, right? That's how Green Bay keeps Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
They got to go have a conversation because right now the owner, you know, leadership of Green Bay is saying that the fan base is split at a loss over this whole Aaron Rodgers debacle. Yeah, rightfully so. Take care of your quarterback. You got half the fans back in, you know, the side of the front office and half the fans back in the side of the quarterback. Who wins you the damn games?
So, I don't want to get too off topic, but the Aaron Rodgers thing, why do we hate on Aaron Rodgers? Which I know why. I know why at the end of the day. But remember when Michael Jordan retired? Like, he literally said this in The Last Dance. He retired because of management. And how the team was splitting up. And he won an MVP. He didn't win a championship, but he won an MVP. He did win a championship. He had years left. So he was disgruntled and quit.
Yeah.
And then came back. I don't look at him bad for doing that. We don't. But maybe it's because of the work he did prior to that to where we can't hate him. And we have this hatred for Aaron Rodgers before that, which I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't hate on Aaron Rodgers at all.
I see it with LeBron. Like, the hate that LeBron's gotten from losing in the first round has been insane to me. But also, it makes a lot of sense.
I think most of that hate is coming from what he said. Like, I wanted to lose so Devin Booker could go on and shine. Like,
wait, what?
That's the I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said. Like, I wanted Book to go on and do his thing. Like, that's a bad take.
I didn't hear all that.
Yeah,
but
I'm gonna have to pull that up for you, man. Like, that's weak. That's weak.
Okay, but either way, greatness.
Go out on your shield.
But I get it. Either way, we the way we hate on greatness, and when it's in other people's shoes, we don't look at it the same. And maybe somebody on Specs text line could justify that for me and explain why that is, because I don't get it. But I don't think we're ready in the NFL to see Devontae Adams and Julio Jones on the same team. That would be absolutely nuts. Like, I know these guys were a lot older when they're on the same team, but you remember what Jerry Rice and Tim Brown were doing it for the Raiders?
I do.
Oh, man, Rich Gannon.
Gannon had it, man.
He had it. Like, Jerry Rice was he 40? Still going over 1,000 yards?
Just making smooth.
Still smooth.
Like, seriously. And he, you still, to that, like, when he was on that on the field with Tim Brown, he would be running the slants. Brown would be, they'd be running double slants, right, with that West Coast offense. And you could not just put a bottle on Jerry Rice's helmet. You could put a glass of wine, and the damn thing wouldn't fall off. I mean, that's just how smooth he is with it, man.
Oh, he's greatest football player of all time?
Yes.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
I mean, because it's hard saying that with football players because of the different positions.
Yeah.
Like, because does the receiver make the quarterback, or does the quarterback make the receiver? I would say it's a perfect union.
When you make multiple quarterbacks good and make those guys have MVP-like seasons like he did with Steve Young, like
that,
he did with Rich Gannon, even when he went to Seattle.
But
like, wasn't he
that
making Hasselbeck look good for a little bit? Like, at the end of his career.
Hasselbeck was decent, but I would say it's a product of the system. I would say that the only two that he really didn't have to influence was Joe Montana and Steve Young, but he still caught some balls that bailed them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
this yeah,
dude,
he did.
Like this dude, like he wasn't the fastest, but he was just the greatest,
route
the route run. Like he just, he would, that, and that's, people don't understand that with Keenan Allen too. Like Keenan Allen's not the fastest runner, but I mean, he plants his feet, he runs, he cuts on the outside foot like you're supposed to cut. He doesn't run lazy routes, and it creates separation. People don't understand that.
If Keenan Allen wasn't as injury prone as he has been throughout his career, I think he'd get more credit.
100 with, I'm right there with you.
I think he would. Obviously, you have to stay on the field so people could see you. And those, you know, we know those Chargers West Coast games, sometimes you could get a little sleepy when you hit that first slate of the NFL day, and then 3:30 comes around, and it's kind of, sometimes it's nap time, you know, even though, you know, sometimes the Cowboys aren't on, it's nap time for a lot of people.
That natural snooze kicks in.
Yeah, that natural snooze kicks in to where a lot of people just don't see those games.
So let me ask you, you just brought up the Chargers, and that's a great team to hypothetically go on right here.
Yeah.
What if he goes to the Chargers with a young, big-armed Herbert and Keenan Allen on the other side? Keenan Allen to run the Keenan Allen to run the mid-range routes, right? Julio Doublestick says he wants a quarterback with a huge arm that can throw the deep ball. This is the kid that can do it.
Yeah. I don't know what. Obviously, Julio Jones is a competitor. He says he wants to win, but that division is brutal with, you know,
Denver,
Kansas City,
Vegas.
You know, Vegas. That's, and really just Kansas City. You know, I you know, weirdly, Kansas City's name has come up. Like, you've seen Tyreek Hill. Oh, I would love to play with Julio
Jones.
I'll
take pay cuts.
What the hell?
Arizona has come up, too. All right,
that's more realistic.
So,
I'm with Arizona.
So here's some odds.
Kansas City, come on.
Plus 400 to the Patriots. Plus 500 to stay where he's at in Hotlanta. Las Vegas, plus 500. Chargers, plus 600. Baltimore plus 700, Indianapolis plus 700, Jacksonville plus 800, 49ers plus 800, Titans plus 8. That would be a pretty decent fit at the Titans.
I like
too.
Titans. I like Titans a lot.
Don't have to move that far away.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, I mean, moving around the block is rough. All right, Titans 800, Browns 1000, 1200 for the Cowboys, 1200 for the Packers. So he's probably not going to the Packers, but he wants a strong arm so you can, okay, teams you can rule out. Probably don't want to go to Jacksonville because they're just getting started off. 49ers don't want to go there either. Yo,
why not the 49ers? Just because they are kind of starting over?
Same as going on with Jacksonville. New quarterback, like, new.
For a team that's starting
over. Like,
Shannon
knows what to do, but.
For a team that's starting over, Trey Lance is in the best situation for the rookie quarterbacks coming in on their first year than anybody else roster wise.
I would agree with that. I mean, the system's already in place. You can, everybody will like to throw, you know, shade at you and say, oh, well, what about Trevor Lawrence? Well, Urban Meyer's coming into the NFL for the first time. So that's what Zay means by that. So
yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's just a better situation. I do not think he's going to the Ravens. Like, after ruling out
damn, man, which is depressing because I feel like he would really help them. I know Hollywood Brown is there. I know you just got Sammy Watkins, but he's in and out the lineup all the time.
Hurt, yeah, man.
I just feel like that team is right there. Obviously.
Missing a couple of pieces.
Yeah, that team is right there. Like, they're right there. They got a quarterback that could get them to the playoffs every single year. Obviously, he has things he has to work on. But
you get
player,
a weapon like this?
That's what I'm talking about.
And people sleep on it saying that Lamar Jackson can't watch a deep or can't throw a deep ball. Look,
he got as
exactly. And I'm not trying to sound like a homer here because I'm a Giants fan, but as a dude from Baltimore, I watch Baltimore sports and I watch a lot of the Ravens. And let me tell you something, Lamar Jackson can throw the deep ball.
He could throw the deep ball. It's sleep just that, like,
it's not as short accurate game. As Moses.
It's just the short game.
It's the touch.
Yeah.
He's got to find the touch on it. All right, we got to take a break because we got to get the right call on the other side. We got to stick to the time here. Great conversation. Let's keep it going on the other side as well. On the other side of the hour, obviously, because we got the right call as well. It's the Wagner Wire. Coming up, The Right Call with Isaiah Collier. Don't go anywhere. On the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming live at HornetFM.com.
I'm kicking a brand new flavor in your air. Back to brand new flavor in your air. Ha!
Now, back to The Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Here I am. Here's Wags. In just a couple of seconds, we're going to get Zay back on here and talk about The Right Call. We got Sam Pikachu bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. Every segment, every hour, brought to you by Tom McKay Audiovisual Consultations. 512-255-8678 or avconsultations.com to see the gallery of projects that they've done over the past 31 years where they have been setting the standard in audiovisual automation. So make sure if you don't have an idea of what you want, get to that gallery of projects on their website. Get an idea. Get it done. It's, you know, you got some gloomy days right now. You got some maybe hot, muggy days coming up around this week. Air that you can wear, like my man Ricky Cody likes to say. You might want a golf simulator in your damn house. Go ahead and put one up. Tom McKay Audiovisual Consultations, 512-255-8678, avconsultations.com. All right, let's get into it. What's the right call, Zay?
The right call this week, Wags, is going to Steve Nash. And Steve Nash, the coach, not Steve Nash, the player. Which is an absolute legend and Hall of Famer and one of my favorites to ever touch the pill. And Steve Nash, the Brooklyn Nets coach, when he got the job, a lot of people questioned it. A lot of people were, you know, very confused that a guy who has never been a head coach before could get this job to where you're automatically going to be in the championship running. And Steve Nash has done a hell of a job with that. And I was one of those ones to question that because, again, I didn't know how his knowledge would translate, yes, and philosophy would translate to the bench because it's different being on the court and orchestrating the offense and running the show than allowing you know, players to do it and then seeing the vision to make your team successful. Because a lot of superstars have a hard time doing that because they're superstars and they got to relate to everybody on the team. Like Steve Nash has to relate to Joe Harris, you know, Claxton, guys who are role players. You can't just relate to Kevin Durant and Kyrie all the time. So, you know, that hurt certain superstars that became coaches like Magic Johnson. You know, Isaiah Thomas was pretty good at it. Larry Bird was great at it, but that was because Larry Bird wasn't really athletic, so he could relate to anybody because, again, the reason why he was a superstar was straight from the middle.
You think Larry Bird was a decent coach?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That Indiana pretty deep.
Yeah, that Indiana team, for them to go to the finals and the Eastern Conference finals and almost beat Jordan in them, like Larry Bird did a hell of a job during his time in Indiana. But Steve Nash, you know, watching the Brooklyn Nets play, you got to remember Steve Nash might be the greatest pick and roll player of all time. So you have that knowledge and that philosophy going to Kevin Durant. Going to Kyrie. Steve Nash, or Kyrie, I mean, James Harden, even though he got hurt, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
So can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
I don't want to throw you off. With coaching, with NBA hoopers transitioning to coaches, do you think it's more achievable as a guard or slash role player than it is? I'm sorry, I guess that's two different categories, because I mean, guards can be role players, but right. Steve Nash was not a role player.
No.
He was the MVP. Cream of the crop, man.
Two-time MVP.
100.
Hall of Famer.
So do you think it's easier for a guard to transition as a coach because they usually are the floor generals and are relaying the philosophy of the coach?
100%. Okay. 100%. Especially point guards. Like, at point guards, it's the easiest transition from them to be a coach. Like, if Chris Paul wanted to be a coach, he'd be terrific.
You'd argue that he is
already. I don't think he would. I think he's going to want to, you know, be with his kids. But he's going to stay around the game. Like, Chris Paul's going to be one of those. We're always going to see Chris Paul, you know, around in basketball. He's not going to be like Kawhi and, like, just disappear somewhere after the game is over. But, yeah, man, the right call is that Steve Nash hire. And, you know, at that offense, he might have the mentality of he played for Don Nelson. They were always about, let's score more than you. He played for Mike D'Antoni. He was always about scoring more than you.
Mike D'Antoni's on the staff, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on the staff. So you just got a lot of smart guys offensively to where, hey, if we just outscore teams, it doesn't matter the defense we play. I'm going to put y'all in situations that I know is going to make you successful because with the talent that we have and the situations that I could put y'all in, nobody could stop us.
Their ball movement last night in the fourth quarter was, I mean, just to get that extra shot. I mean, and you spoke to it. It was a role player that was finishing off the ball movement shots. The sniper, Joe Harris, you know, average Joe just from the wing and then from the corner as well, finding the extra shot. Kyrie had an open shot. Somebody was closing in on him. He acquiesced. He passed. Guess what? 3 points.
Yeah. Brown.
I want to say it was Brown, but it might have been Durant that had a good look at it too. Passed and gave it.
James was really good too. The one that came from Europe.
Mike James. Mm-hmm. Durant was the hockey pass, the hockey assist.
Right.
It went to James, and then James on the wing, and then kicked it back into the corner for Harris. I mean, you just and then you saw the defense. You saw the rotation of Milwaukee just so slow to you can't run faster than the ball moves.
Yeah, we got to go to break, but we're going to talk about some things that Milwaukee, I thought, should have done.
What you doing, Mike?
That didn't make much sense. If you're trying to win the way that y'all were guarding Brooklyn, y'all are destined for disaster.
We'll see the X's and O's come out on Tuesday. That's on the next game, right? Tuesday night?
I think so, yes.
At least so. Somebody asked on the text line, what do you guys think about thoughts on Mayweather tonight? I think that fight's actually tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We'll double-check on that. But
it's Monday.
I think it's the 7th, today's the 6th, so I think it's the 7th. But we'll get back into that. That was on the first segment. We actually came in hot about Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather. But we'll touch base on that. No Sam Stash, so we'll get back into that again. It's the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com.